Hello again. This is a continuation from last week. We was looking at truth, and we're taking it from Ephesians, aren't we? Where it's talking about being strong in the Lord and mighty in his power, so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. And if we've done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth wrapped around our waist. And we looked with the belt of truth. You could see the imagery that Paul was influenced by, that he would see the Roman soldier all around him, and he would try and translate that to those that would read this letter of his. And also, if we look in the Old Testament, I believe there's signs there of Christ being a mighty warrior. So when we think about truth, I didn't want to just bring one scripture and just say, put on the belt of truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. So just put on Christ and everything will be okay. Because when it comes to truth, it is a bedrock of who we are as individuals. It is the bedrock of who we are in Christ. And it's the first part of the garment that Paul says put on the belt. And as the Roman soldier would put his belt on, that would hold together everything else that he was going to wear. And we're going to look at the armor in the next few weeks. So we're talking about truth. So we left off in Matthew 7 at 24, where it says this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it's good for us to look at what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about, you know, bearing good fruit. He was bringing some solid teaching. And I want to encourage you to look up Matthew 7 verse 1 and look at what Jesus was talking about before we get to the therefore. Everyone who hear these words of mine. So when we hear what Jesus is saying, or we read what Jesus is saying, we can understand how this portion of scripture relates to us. It says, they hear these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, we're talking about truth in this portion of scripture, in this Bible study together. Last week, we were talking about truth. This week, and just a caveat, you know, I said to you that I get my words mixed up. And well, I was listening back to my own message because I'd like to eat my own food. And every time, or most of the time when I said, know the truth and the truth will set you free, we're set free by the truth. The truth will set us free. If we know the truth sets us free. Not from the truth, but by the truth. Sure you understood what I was trying to say. So we're talking about a wise man building his house on something solid. That's why it's important for us as Christians, regardless to how old we are, young we are, how long we've been in the faith, whether we're just being introduced or whether you're somebody who's listening to me today and that you're just being introduced to Christianity. Christ is the rock on which we build. He is the foundation that we build upon. Paul reminds us, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid. And that's a sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So when we build upon him, build upon the truth, then when the wind and the waves come, then the house will stand. And then he goes on to say, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I wasn't going to read this last portion, but I think it's quite relevant to what we're looking at. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So I start to look at this, their teachers of the law. Whenever I bring a message, I spend a week studying all the scriptures that I'm going to read. Even if I just read a small part of a scripture, I look at the whole context of that scripture, even if I just don't deliver it to you. I know that I know it in my own heart. So I put the work in as I look at these scriptures, just so that I can bring maybe one or two things out to us on a Sunday. However, when we look at this teachers of the law, what would happen so often with the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they would quote what the teacher before them said. So brother so-and-so said such and such, and they would quote from what someone else had said, what their teaching were. Because when it came to the rabbis, when it came to the teachers, the more following they had, the more influence they had, the more they were revered, the more people quoted them. But what was different about Jesus? I'm glad you asked. He quoted from God's word. He took the Torah and he spoke over direct revelation from God, or he quoted scripture. And that was the difference. When he preached as one who had authority. He used God's word directly rather than what someone else said about God's word. And actually, that's relevant to us in context to what we was learning last week, that we need to put our trust and our hope in the word of God, that's the true word, not in what someone else says about God. Does that make sense? I'm glad it does. So we are to be influencers. We are to listen to people. We are to give honour where honour is due. And of course, we don't throw everything out that other people say, but we must always have within our hearts the capacity to dig a bit further for ourselves into God's word. If there's something that you don't feel quite sounds right or sits right, then you should have wisdom to see if it was solid, if it was built upon Christ and him crucified. So when we look at the belt of truth, it's not just a one word thing. It's not just one or two scriptures that says, you know, I am the way, the truth and the life. It's more than that. It's bigger than that, because we as Christians will be challenged throughout our whole Christian walk, even in the societies that we live in today. Things that we would take for granted as being the norm, truth, are now being challenged. And there's lots of passages in scripture that many Christian teachers will steer clear of. Many church leaders won't talk about sexuality anymore because they're afraid, because they know the truth. In the beginning, God created male and female, but they won't touch that because the truth is now being manipulated to be a lie, and the lie is becoming the truth. And when we look through the teaching of God's word through Christ Jesus, he challenged. Yes, he had compassion. And whenever we articulate God's truth, we should be mindful of other people. We should be kind and compassionate, and let truth does its work. You know, when someone asks you a question and you give them a truthful answer in love and compassion and full of grace and mercy, let the truth do the work. Because when we preach Christ and him crucified, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not our words, is it? It's God's words through us. It's what God does. And in Jeremiah 50, listen to what God is saying about his people. Listen to what he's saying about his leaders, his shepherds. Throughout scripture, we'll see shepherds and sheep. Shepherds are those that God has given responsibility to care for others. The sheep are the others that God has given the responsibility for the sheep, shepherds to look after. So shepherds and sheep. And it says in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is an interesting prophet. He's called the weeping prophet. He has a lot to say about what God is going to do in the years to come. In Jeremiah 50 verse 6, it says this: my people, meaning God's people, have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. So they haven't just wandered off, they've been led astray. And they've been caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountains and hill. They forgot their own resting place. What God is saying here is quite significant. And yes, I want to tie this scripture into truth, because we do need to know the truth, and we'll be set free by the truth, won't we? we will. His people at times can be led astray by his shepherds. And if they're led astray by his shepherds, then they could be led so far from God that they forget the resting place they have. Our resting place is in Christ. We're hidden with Christ, aren't we? That's the truth of the word. And it's important to know truth, because when the world says things about us, we should know what God says about us. There are many Christians I know of today, or I know about today, who have wandered far away from God because they've not understood the truth. They've not understood that that God loves us so much that when we fail, he's not finished with us. That when we get things wrong, his grace is there for us. When we acknowledge our wrongdoing, when we acknowledge our sin, God is still our Saviour. That we come to him as David would on numerous occasions, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. But so often what we find is, yes, some people are led astray by shepherds, and some people are led astray by their evil desires. And we need to be a people that will have our feet firmly fixed upon the foundation, which is Christ Jesus, so that when the wind and the waves come and they beat against our house, remember what the Bible says about our house. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple has been destroyed, but we are now being built into a spiritual temple because of the grace of God and the Spirit of God in us. When the wind of adversity beats against our house, it won't fall because we've been built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. So it's important, I believe, to understand what the Bible says about truth. It's not just a belt that we put on, it's a lifestyle that we live. In Genesis 3, I mentioned this last week, and it's worth reading it again, and just taking a fresh perspective. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Listen to the reply. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." In verse 4, goes on, "You will not certainly die," said the serpent to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it." Verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked." When you look at this portion of scripture, we could say, and I would say that, you know, we shouldn't be excusing our own actions. We shouldn't blame someone else. Like Eve would say, "It's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault." And Adam would say, "It's not my fault, it's Eve's fault." When we look at the scripture, God has given us an opportunity to have a personal relationship and a personal walk. There are things that I will do, and if I'm not careful, they will cause other people to stumble. But I am responsible for what I eat. I am responsible for what I say, the same as you, and it's the same for others. So when we look at truth, did God really say? So whenever you're challenged with something difficult, especially in 2021, when we're challenged with the difficult questions, let's go back to the Bible. What does God say about this? We may not like the answer, and it's so easy to be persuaded because the lie looks so attractive. We don't want to offend people, do we? It looks more attractive to be kind, to be not that person that seems to be judgmental. Because remember, the Bible does say, judge not and you won't be judged. But God calls us to make judgments on a regular basis, not to be judgmental. When we look at scripture, the truth of God's word is, don't judge others about the very thing that you should allow God to judge you. Don't be a hypocrite, in other words. So when we find difficult questions, let's go to the Bible and say, what did God say? Remember what Eve said? She said, well, God did say this. And then she was persuaded that the lie was more attractive. And I want to pause and just ask you to think about that for a moment. There may be times that you don't want to lose relationships, friendships. You don't want to lose the opportunity to be able to be part of someone else's life. But if we don't speak the truth, we're not going to be set free. We're not going to be set free. We're going to be under bondage. So I think it's important for us to be those that will hear God's word and be doers of God's word. So it's important for us, I believe, to be strengthened in God's goodness and his grace, and know that we are sinners and we're saved by grace. And God's grace is sufficient, isn't it? Yes, it is. But we have to build our life on truth in order to go forward, I believe. In Romans 1, verse 25, just pulling out one small part of what Paul is saying here. They exchanged the truth, they being the hearers of the truth. The disciples, those that were Jews and those that were Gentiles, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshipped the served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen, Paul says. And because of this, because they worshipped the created things rather than the Creator, God took his hand off of them, is what Paul is saying, and he gave them over to the shameful lusts of their own desires. So they did whatever they wanted to do. They took the truth and they manifested the lie through it. Paul is warning us as Christians here, don't exchange the truth for a lie. Because if we exchange the truth for a lie, there'll be a time where the lie seems to be the truth. And we start to live the lie instead of the truth. And that's when we walk into danger. Because I don't know about you, but I want God's hand on me. Amen? Amen. Let's continue and look in what it says in Revelation 12, 11. When we think about the truth, the belt of truth being around our waist, we have to articulate that we have an enemy. And if we're not careful, we can be fearful of that enemy. But we shouldn't be fearful, because if we know the truth and we're set free by the truth, we will know that we're more than overcomers. Yes? Yes. And just to back that up, in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they, meaning God's people, triumphed over him, meaning the devil, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which is Christ Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The Bible says this, it says if we want to save our lives, we need to lose our lives in order to save them, to save our lives. We triumph over the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb. So whenever you listen to scripture on truth, truth is empowering. If we know the truth, it will liberate us and we'll be able to stand firm. So I just wanted to finish what I started last week, and there was one or two scriptures more than what I had time to read. So I want to continue to read them today in the context of what we were saying last week. And in Psalm 24, verse 8, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. This is what I was saying about the Old Testament, talking about Christ being a mighty warrior. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. It's a picture of a warrior who is triumphant. In Isaiah 11, verse 5, it goes on and it says this, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. They're talking about Christ himself. In John 17, 17, Sanctify them. This is Jesus speaking. Who are them? They're his disciples. And if we belong to Christ, then we're his disciples. So we are the them. You are the them. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Set us apart by the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus is talking to his Father about us, his children. And he's saying, Father God, sanctify them by the truth. And your word is the truth. So when we look at God's word and we acknowledge the truth of what God is saying, then we're truly set apart for good works. We're set apart for the plans and purposes that God has. Always remember that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the truth of his word. And the reason I'm laboring it so much is that going over these foundational things again, it consolidates what we know. It will tuck in some of them loose ends. If there's people out there that are still trying to gain their salvation through works, it'll give them an understanding. It's by grace, faith in Christ. Those people that have fallen short and maybe slipped backwards, or as the Bible says, backslidden, then God hasn't finished with you. Just come back on track, ask forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and walk with your head up high. Why? Because the Bible says that you are a child of God. And the truth is that when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us. So this word is a word that will help us on our journey, because we all make mistakes. We all get things wrong. And I think it's good for us to be reminded of what God says about us today. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be sanctified. And Jesus goes on to talk about prayer and how he prays, not just for himself, but also for me and you. So we should have a full and rounded understanding of the truth of God. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it tells us, it reminds us that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's in 15. And then going on to 16, it says, all scripture. So all of God's word is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why it's, I believe, encouraging to listen not just to new things, but listen to the same things, the foundational things. Now, scripture does say, but Paul encourages and he says, don't lay again the foundation that's already been laid. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. You don't need to lay that foundation anymore. You are a child of God, but you're a child of God on the journey, and on that journey you will be challenged. So I bring the message on truth, so that when you are challenged, you know what the truth is. You're set free by the truth, so that you can live the truth and you can share the truth about God's goodness to other people. So take this message just on the back of what we said last week and make it one big sermon, and hopefully it will make sense. My final scripture, because I'm tagging this on the end, even though 23 minutes have already passed by. Hasn't it gone quick? I think so. Back to the beginning of what we said when we was talking about being strong and mighty in God's power. Back to Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, we knew what was being said before that, what Paul was trying to articulate. And then he said, finally, after you have heard all of this, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's why we're bringing this series on spiritual warfare, the armor of God, so that you can take your stand. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Let's close in prayer together. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that you've given us everything we need for this life, that you've given us, Father God, the hope for an eternal inheritance. We thank you, Lord, that when we stumble and fall, you pick us up. We thank you, Lord, that you forgive us, that you enable us, that you equip us. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children according to your word, that we are stones being built together, that we have an inhabitance where you reside, that Father God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, for that belt that I have around my waist, that I can tuck all the loose ends into, that when you call me to fight, Lord, I am ready and I am prepared. So, Lord, I pray today that you would give me the grace that I need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.